Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, every one of you will need a piece of paper and either a pen or pencil. So, if you haven't got that, beg, borrow, or steal from... preferably not steal. You can't really say, can I borrow a piece of paper, because you'll never give that piece of paper back, will you? What we're going to focus on this morning is what it really means to speak, pray, and act in the name of Jesus, or in the name of God. Okay, now, what I want you to do, you've just got 2 or 3 minutes to do this, it shouldn't take any longer. I want you to draw... to draw the trunk of a tree. Doesn't have to be very big, but just draw the trunk of a tree. Just the trunk, that's all you need. So I thought we could have an art lesson this morning. And the art lesson will help us to understand what it is to act in the name of Jesus. As you've finished already. Now, let me just give... if any of you have done this, that's not a trunk of a tree, that's just an outline, isn't it? I want you to draw the trunk. You've never seen a tree that's two lines and nothing in between it. So that's not a tree. There's purpose in all this, don't worry. Now, I just warn you that what I want to show you, it's very difficult to do on the board here, but I'll show you a painting in a moment to make the point. Right, now, if you asked a child, or even a team member of Kingdom Faith, to... to draw a tree, you might get that. If you ask them to paint a tree, they would... probably do that, filling in, you know, colour brown or something like that. And that would be the tree. What you would have was something that looks absolutely flat and lifeless, just a brown streak. If we're to be a little bit more artistic, we would realize, well, wait a minute, a tree isn't like that. A tree consists of bark, and it looks something like that because the uneven surface is catching light. And then if we say that the source of light is over this side, what you end up with is an uneven tree. Something like that, where you can see, okay, light is coming in. It's not just one color, but actually the trunk of the tree would look different colors because the light is hitting it there. Now, if you were a real artist, you would then also... this is what won't work on this board very easily. You'd also do that. You would have the light that comes round the back of the tree, and by having a thin line of light there, it would make the tree look round, because it is. As I say, it's very difficult to show that on a board with a pen, but this is just a painting that I have on the wall in my study. But some people think, at home, some people think that walls are there to keep roof up, but the reason for having walls in your house is to put pictures on. This would just explain what I want. Now, if you see this jug. Now, if you looked at the jug in the natural, it would look what? There's no such thing as color. Only light. Because however you held that jug, it would look different colors according to what light was falling upon it. So in this case, the light is coming from here, and you can see something of the light source reflected, but you can see the light, and you can see the shadow. What makes it look round and not just a flat object is the fact, can you see that little line of light around the back and the line of light round the handle makes the handle look round. Here you have a whole lot of, well, here you have a loaf of bread. Now, is the bread that color? No, the bread changes color according to whatever light is upon it. So that part of this loaf is more or less the same color as that part of the loaf, but it looks entirely different because more of the light is on this side than on that side. Here you have a number of plums, greengages, cherries. They look round, not flat. Why? Because the light source is there, but if you look carefully, you can see, as an example here, there's also the light round the back, the reflected light that is hitting other surfaces, reflecting back on the particular fruit that you're painting, so that what you get is the rounded effect. So all that is just to demonstrate the fact that the key to all good painting is light. And the reason, or the way to tell the difference between, you know, just an amateur painter, and I don't say this in a disparaging way, because I think it's great that anybody should paint. It's a wonderful thing to do. But you can see that someone who is perhaps a little inexperienced, let's put it that way, their paintings are flat. If you ask a child to paint grass, they'll paint green. If you actually look at grass, it's a whole lot of different colors. But also, you would have to, if you want it to really look like grass, you'd have to pick out little specks of white or just off-white. The light reflecting off the blades of grass, which would actually make it look like grass, something living rather than just a flat color. I don't know why kids aren't taught this at school. I was never taught it at school. You're just given a piece of paper and told to paint something, and what you end up with something looking entirely flat. So light is the key. The Impressionists, who became very popular, they weren't concerned to paint what is called realism, what is there. Their whole purpose was to try to paint light. And if you look at, this is why most of them were in the Mediterranean, especially in the south of France, because of the bright sunlight. So you think even of Van Gogh, who what he was doing all the time was trying to capture light. One of the one stream, if you like, of the Impressionists all they did was to paint little dots. It's called pointillism. Little dots of color. And in between the color, there was just light. people like Suroth and others, they painted like this. They wanted to try to capture light. And actually what makes many of their paintings attractive and now extremely valuable is that people like to look at something that portrays light. So light is the key, actually, to good painting. If you ever go to an art gallery, you will see that all the masters, the key to all their painting is light. And the values of light as opposed to darkness. That's what makes a great painter. So, even in a painting like this, which is just a still life, it's not, you know, I wish it was just the quickest thing to hand. What I'm saying would be even more obvious on a landscape. But you see, you have a dark background. Why? Because you want the light to reflect on the subject. Right, now, this is the NIV Concordance. Some of you may have a shorter version of this, but this is the full concordance. Every word in the New Testament is here. And here, this, 7 columns, are the all the references for the name of God. There are about 100 in each column, so it's about 700 references, verses, which speak of the name of God. So if you are to do something in the name of God, you're doing it in the name of those 700 things. Obviously, some of them are repetition. But what it means is that you're doing something in the fullness of who God is. Now, we know that in the scripture, there's a lot of revelation about the nature and character of God. But there are certain statements which says God is. And you could say that basically there are 4 of those, 4 main ones. God is holy. God is love. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And God is almighty. Now, you know, we could say God is gracious and merciful and so on and so on and so on. All these various ways in which he is described. But basically, these 4 statements talk about the essential nature of God. You could probably add to that a 5th one and say that God is spirit. But I haven't included that in the 4 because that's not very descriptive. It just tells us that God is not natural, he is spirit. But the nature of that spirit is to say that he is holy, he is love, he is light, he is almighty. So if you're doing anything in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, What you're doing is to express something of His holiness, His love, His light, and His power. So, if you were to lay hands on someone, for example, in the name of Jesus, you're not simply doing some kind of mechanical action. Neither are you just using the name of Jesus. But you are actually expressing something of His holiness, of His holy will coming to bear upon that person's life, that He wants to impart something to that person out of His love, that you're bringing the light of God that will destroy the darkness, whether it's of sin, of sickness, of oppression, or whatever, in the almighty power of God. So, even in the act of laying hands on someone, you can be conscious that you are doing that in His name, on His behalf, so that these four things are going to impact that person in the power of the Spirit that he is. So you would say that God the Father is holy, He is love, He is light, He is almighty. The Son of God is holy, love, light, almighty. The Spirit of God is holy, He is love, He is light, He is almighty. Because the essential nature of the Trinity is the same, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, what matters, we're focusing on the light this morning, as we were yesterday morning when we were praying. Because light and glory go together. It's the light of His glory that is to be revealed in the circumstances, in all the circumstances of our lives, really. Okay, now, the scripture says that we are to speak in His name, to pray in His name, and to act in His name. Now let's just look at those three things, particularly in reference to the light. Because what I want you to see in what we're doing this morning is that you are really like a spiritual painter. You want to bring the reality of God, of His light, into that person's life. Whether it's because you're speaking to them, or praying for them, or acting, doing something that will actually reveal something of God into their lives. By the way, you serve them, help them, encourage them, whatever. So, what we need ourselves, if we're to be instruments of that light, is to receive light. In other words, we are to reflect the light of God. You see, I said there's no such thing as color because, you see, what is the color of this carpet? Well, if you look there, it looks one color. If you look there, it's a different color because that has more light shining. That is in shadow. You can look at where my shadow falls and it's a different color again. Because there isn't such a thing as a color. You go to the DIY store if you want to paint your room, and you might get one of those little samples. Why? Because you're going to take it home and you're going to put it on the wall and you're going to see what the color looks like there. Because under electric light, it'll look one color. Under fluorescent light, it'll look a different color. If you put it on one wall, it will look a different color than it will look on another wall, because on one wall there's more light than there is on the other wall. So there isn't such a thing as a color. It all depends on how much light is reflecting on the surface. Without light, everything would be completely black. Without light, there is no revelation. So if we look at this spiritually, we need light whenever we speak. If we are to actually be instruments of light, we need the light of revelation as to what to say. Now, Jesus came as the light of the world, so he never spoke any words of his own. He spoke only the words his Father gave him to speak. Now, you hear me quoting this often. But what does that mean? He received light from his Father as to what he was to say. And because he received the light, he reflected the light. So he spoke light, and the light of revelation of the truth came into people's lives. Jesus said that he did nothing of himself. He actually said he could do nothing of himself, and you hear me quote that often. He did only what he saw his Father doing. He needed the light of revelation to see what the Father was doing before he did anything. Now, if Jesus trusted to the light that his Father would give him during the days of his humanity to enable him to be the light of the world, and Jesus says to us, as he said to the disciples, you are the light of the world. See, he made both these statements. He said, first of all, I am the light of the world. Then he said to the disciples, now you are the light of the world. So God is saying to us, you are now the light of the world. But you can only be the light of the world if you minister, walk, live as Jesus did, reflecting the light that comes from heaven, the light that comes from the Father. So you can hear a sermon where someone is preaching the truth. It's clearly biblical what he's saying, and yet it doesn't impart life. Because although it's the truth, it may not be the word that God wants to speak to his people at that time. It's more just a statement about. It's more teaching than preaching. So when you speak, you can impart knowledge. The only trouble is that the scripture says knowledge puffs up. That even receiving spiritual knowledge can make people proud that they know so much. And you know, when you're talking to some people, they say, I know, I know, I know, I know. And you see, that's an example of being puffed up. Because actually, if we're to speak in the name of Jesus, we are speaking the word that comes from God, not from our knowledge of God. It needs to be the word of revelation of what God is saying to his people at that particular time, not something that simply comes out of our experience and our knowledge of the scripture. So when there is preaching or even teaching that is really inspired by the Spirit, it will always impart the light of revelation. And that's the difference between just listening to a sermon that is a statement of truth and listening to a sermon that is really a word from God. And what it says in Hebrews 13, talking about leadership, you know, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Meaning not just gave you knowledge, but they spoke the word that came from God. Somebody I knew, used to minister with at international conferences, went to a new church. He was actually an American, so this was in America. And he said in one of his preaches that on the first day of his ministry there, the first Sunday that he preached, he got up in the pulpit and he said to his people, this is quite a large congregation, and he said to the people, "I give you this promise, I will never speak from this pulpit without first hearing from God." Now that's a preacher. Because if you haven't heard from God, you're not going to spread light in the way that God intends. And Jesus knew this, so I speak only what my Father gives me to speak, because then it will be light. It won't just be knowledge, it will be light. It will give revelation, and if it gives the light of revelation, it will impart life. So when we speak in the name of Jesus or in the name of God, we're not going to simply impart knowledge, we're going to impart life. Now, it's within the ability of all of us to do that because the Holy Spirit can speak to us and speak through us. This is why it always delights me to hear of people getting healed during a preaching. Even though you may not be talking about healing, but what is happening is the light of revelation is coming into a person's life, and life is being imparted to them. It's not always healing, it can be other things as well, but it can even be healing. They will suddenly hear from God. Again, someone who was at a conference with multiple sclerosis, an advanced stage of that, in a wheelchair, just heard in one of the meetings, just heard God say to him, "Stand up." Now, in the natural, he couldn't stand. He was at the place where it was impossible for him to stand up. But he just heard God say, "Stand up." So he stood up and he was completely healed. You see, that's the light of revelation. Now, if he'd sat there and said, "I can't," he wouldn't have been healed. But he'd heard something from the Spirit, responded to it, so the light of life. And this is what John says in his first chapter, that Jesus came as the light of life. People preferred the darkness to try to hide their sins, but he actually came as the light of life. So when we speak or act in his name, it's because we're actually speaking and acting out of revelation. The light of God, the revelation of God, the Spirit of God is operating in and through us. Now, exactly the same principle needs to be true when we pray. You see that when we're praying out of the light of revelation that the Spirit is giving to us about what to pray, how to pray in any particular situation. If that doesn't happen, that's why you've heard me say, if somebody is leading a prayer meeting and going to pray about a number of situations, the thing you don't do is to get people into groups and say, right, now let's pray about this and see what God is saying. That is not the way to lead a prayer meeting. That the one who is leading the meeting needs to have heard from God as to what to pray. Impart that to the group, so then they're praying out of the revelation that God is giving. They're praying His will into being. So it's actually a great responsibility if you're going to lead a prayer meeting properly, because you do need to have heard from God. Because otherwise, you see, you've got a group of 10 people. You say, well, let's pray about the children's work. And what's happening? They're praying about 10 different things. There's no unity. Unless there's something specific, right? What God is saying we need to pray about the children's work is this. So let's be united in this and pray this into being. Then you see you're praying in the name of Jesus. Truly, you're praying with the light of revelation that He has given. Well, this is what you need to pray. This is how to pray. You pray like that with the unity of faith, and that is exactly what will happen. So it's not just a question of, you know, turning up. When I speak and preach, you know that I never use notes, but I know that what is going to happen is revelation because of where I've been with God before I speak. So that, you know, I can be His mouthpiece, channel of what He wants to say. So I may not know everything that He wants to say, but I know that revelation is going to take place, that the words are not going to come from me, but from Him. And, I mean, I got used to doing that many years ago, but the same thing has to happen even if I'm speaking to thousands of people. I can't sit down and write a message, because what I would then do is impart knowledge rather than be a mouthpiece for His life to be imparted to people. I mean, that's just personal to me. I'm not saying that's the way everybody is to operate. So we can see everything that we do really depends upon this light. And to understand, the reason why I did this tree and that jug, how it looks round, is because to actually accomplish God's purposes, it's the same, that the light needs to come directly through what is happening, through what is being said, through what is being done. But there's also the reflected light that comes through other people, as light bounces off surfaces in the natural. So the light is expressed through people in the body. So it's important that if you think of the person that needs healing or deliverance or whatever it is, like that jug, yes, they need the light of revelation, but they need also to be in a place, in an environment of light, where the others around are all actually reflecting the light of the glory of God. And that's why so often much more happens within a corporate context than when people are praying on their own. Because there's a corporate dynamic of the light. Not just the light that that particular individual is receiving, but the light that is also being reflected through the lives of the others around them. So when we have an agreement of faith, that's very, very powerful. But you see, there can only be an agreement of faith if everybody is agreeing about what they're praying. And there can only be that agreement if somebody has revelation from God as to what we are to be praying. And I'm sure you've had many situations where, you know, you pray about it, perhaps somebody who's seriously ill or some other kind of situation, and it doesn't matter how much you pray, it seems the situation never changes. And what you realize is that your prayers are not going to change the situation. That what you need is the light of revelation, something from God about how to pray or what needs to happen in that situation. Let's take an example from Scripture. The man that was let down through the roof. Now, on this occasion, Jesus said to the man, your sins are forgiven you. And then he said, get up and walk, didn't he? So supposing with all the best will in the world, believers in that situation just addressed the paralysis and was saying to the man, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk, nothing would happen. Why? Because Jesus perceived that before he could get up and walk, his sins needed to be forgiven. So Jesus was acting by revelation. Now, did he say that in every situation? No, he didn't. But he was acting in the revelation that he received from the Father, speaking what the Father gave him to speak, doing what the Father told him to do in that situation. And you see, there are many situations where we haven't heard from God. And we need to hear from God in order that there will then be a breakthrough in that situation. Are we getting this? I mentioned the other day, I think it was at the leaders' conference, that time in France when I prayed for, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000 people, and all these healings were happening, and they were going up on the platform, and this thing went on for about 5 hours, and the French even missed a meal, which was perhaps the biggest miracle of the day. But now, in a situation like that, praying for one person after another, all I was doing was just saying, you know, recevez votre guérison dans le nom du Seigneur Jésus maintenant. Which is, you know, receive your healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ now. But the revelation had come in the message before the prayer. I mean, if you're praying for a couple of thousand people like that, you can't have long words of prophecy for each of them. But they had received a word of revelation, a word of faith from God during the message. So then, in the name of Jesus, you could just nail one situation after another. Now. Maintenant. Now. So, but you see, that is not just having a formula. I had somebody else who could, my French is very basic, so I had somebody else, if there was anybody that I needed to speak to in a different way in that time, there was someone there to translate. I wouldn't want to break my concentration by fumbling for the right words in French. But you see, we now are the light. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And he says, walk in the light while you have the light, that you may be the children of light. So all this emphasis on light was central to what Jesus was doing and what he was training his disciples to be. You are to be light in the darkness. During the last couple of days, I've been doing the proofreading for the Lord's Orchard, you know, the Charter for Reformation. And I was tempted to sort of bring one passage after another and just read it to you because, there's a whole chapter on light, on being the people of light that God wants us to be. And there's some really good stuff there that the Lord gave me. And lots of other passages too. I thought, yes, 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 yes. So you all will be obliged to read it when it comes out. We'll even give you all a copy and check that you have read it. I will ask you questions on it to make sure that you have read it. Hallelujah. But you see, the point is that God, and if you remember, in the original vision that God gave me of this orchard, that when Reformation comes to a tree, and the trees, remember, represent the churches, the light of his glory shines out of the tree because of the fruitfulness of that tree to give light to the darkness of the world around. And Sainz did some visual things when I first presented that last year. And in one of those pictures, there was a pool of light around the trees that were fruitful. But there wasn't a pool of light around the other trees where there wasn't that fruit. Because the greater the fruitfulness of the branches, the more of the light will shine out of the whole tree and the greater the impact on the world around. So you see, whatever God is doing in our lives to make us the children of light is not an introspective, self-centered thing. It's to enable us to be the light in the way that God intends us to be the light. So all the refining that he does in our lives is so that the light of his glory will be reflected more visibly and more powerfully through our lives. And every branch in the tree, every believer has the responsibility for that. Because if every branch was, if you like, glowing with the light of his glory, think how much light and glory would be expressed through the whole tree and what impact that would have on the darkness around. And you see, that's what God intends. And so that light is very closely connected with the holiness, with the love, and with the power of God. So when we do something in his name, it will always be holy. It will always be done in love. It will always bring light, and it will always be an expression of his power. And that's what it really means to function in the spirit rather than in the natural. So, you know, I think it's exciting that we are going to go into a period where this light is going to impact Horsham, Crawley, Worthing, the 25-mile radius, the nation, the nations. Even the light out of Kingdom Faith. Wherever we have influence and impact, that light will impact people. Wherever we go, wherever any of us go, not just where I go. Because my purpose, God's purpose for me now is you know, to receive revelation just to initiate things, but it's then for all you guys, for Pastor Clive, the others in the leadership, and then the whole body, to actually take the ball and run with it. My running days are over in that sense. I just get the ball. This is a good rugger analogy to go with the... I get the ball. I used to play a fly half, so I just get the ball and quickly pass it on. I used to be able to run with it, but now it's passed on to the others. And off we go. So, praise God. He is good. I should say I sometimes pay to fly half, sometimes on the wing. But there we go. Praise God. Light. Light. A painting without light is flat. Lifeless. Your life without the light is flat and lifeless. But with the light, you're a spiritual artist. Let's stand, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, let's thank him. That we are who we are because we have received the light of revelation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Kura taparia leto bakala sitri santama. O paparia leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala zutri santo. Pasatabaria leto bakala sitri sandaria lenoma zundama. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I bless your holy name. I praise your holy name. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my King. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, that you sent him to be the light of the world. Thank you that he expressed that light perfectly. Whenever he spoke, whenever he prayed, whenever he acted. And thank you that he was successful in everything he did because his life was flooded with the light of your truth, of your presence, of your holiness, of your love, and of your power. And Father, we thank you that he was prepared to take all the darkness of the world upon himself when he went to the cross. We thank you for those 3 hours of darkness when he hung on the cross, so that we know that everything that belongs to the darkness was being overcome as he hung there. We thank you for the glory of the resurrection and his ascension, his return to the light of glory in heaven, demonstrating that all-powerful, overcoming victory that he had won on the cross. We thank you also, Father, that we are now, together with other disciples, the light of the world. And Lord, we see so much darkness in the world around us. We realize that your church, your orchard, needs to radiate much more of the light of your glory to have a much greater impact on the darkness. So, Lord, we are devoted to you and to your reformation purposes. Yeah. so that here in Kingdom Faith and in every aspect of Kingdom Faith, more of the light of your glory will be reflected through our lives, will be channeled through our lives, so that we will have a much greater impact on the darkness of the world around us. And we thank you that Horsham will be blessed, that Crawley will be blessed, that Worthing will be blessed, that actually the 25-mile radius will be blessed, because your light is going to shine ever more brightly. And we know, Lord, that where that light shines, people are drawn to the light. We thank you for those thousands that were drawn to Jesus. They were attracted by the light that was flooding out of what he was saying and doing. And Lord, we pray that the same impact will happen through Kingdom Faith in these coming months and years. That much, much more of your light will flood through every one of our lives. Lord, I believe you want to take us into a new season of prayer. That we will not be heard for our many words, but we will be praying with the light of the revelation that comes from your Spirit, and we will see how easy it is to pray things into being when first we've heard from you. So we thank you, Lord. We bless you and we praise you. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Sukaratapariya leto bakala sitari sandama. O paparia leto bakala sitari sandaria leto bakala zotari santo. Vasaraparia leto bakala zotari sandaria leto bakala zotari sandama. Bozodabaria leto bakala zotari sandaria leto bakala zitari santo. O paparia leto bakala zotari sandaria leto bakala zotari sandama. O Bazarabaria, letter Bagala Sitri Sandaria, letter Bagalazotri Santum. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're not going to spiritually draw flat trees or lifeless trees, but rounded trees that reflect the light of who you are. And we just give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Bless your holy name. Come on, let's just really praise him. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you so much. We praise you so much. Thank you, Lord. And thank you that every time we speak or pray or act in your name, it's in the fullness of who you are. That this glorious revelation in the scripture, that the name denotes everything that you are. It's not just a name. It denotes everything you are. And thank you that when we pray in your name, we pray in the good of everything that you are. When we lay hands on the sick in your name, we pray in the good of all that you are. We minister, we reach out with the light, with the power, with your love. Oh, and we give you all the glory, Lord. We thank you so much that we're going to see so much more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just finish with a great thanksgiving to the Lord. Praise you. Bless you, Lord. Puratabaria leto bakala sitari sanda bakataria leto bakala zotaba. Balatabaria leto bakala sotari sandaria leto bakala zotaba. Bazatabaria leto bakala sitari sandama. O paparia leto bakala sitari sandaria leto bakala sundama. O paparia leto bakala sitari sandama. O paparia leto bakala sitari sandaria leto bakala sundama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I trust you've enjoyed your painting lesson. But just learn that it's all about light. I mean, not the painting, that's just an example. That brings life to painting, but it's whatever light is radiating out of us that will bring life to others. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.